Today I'm going to talk to you about almost true. Almost true. You see, there's a lot of beliefs in our culture and in our world today that sound true. They feel true. And they're almost true. But they're not. They're not true. And I just want to tell you this morning, if you're here and you feel a little bit of pushback, if you think, I don't know, I just want you to pray about it and ask God if this message might be for you, okay? And so I want to start out a little bit lighter note, and so I want to play a really quick game, okay? I want to play a game. It's called Two Truths and a Lie. And so I'm going to lie to you today, but it's okay because it's, our, you know, it's okay because it's for a sermon illustration. All right? It's legal. It's legal for me to lie to you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you two truths and a lie, and it's up to you to decide which one is the lie. All right? So in a minute, we'll take your vote on which one you think is a lie. But I'm going to tell you three things. So these are three things about me, and one of them is going to be a lie. How many of you would believe that I got shot in a hunting accident and drove myself to the hospital? Hold on, don't give me your answer yet. Or how many of you think that it's true that right out of high school, I managed a waterbed store in Amarillo, Texas? Or how many of you would believe that the very first time Shelley laid eyes on me, she thought I was amazing? All right. So, man, he's down here just, I choked him up. So, how many of you think that I got shot and drove myself to the hospital is real? All right, that's true. How many of you think that I managed a waterbed store right out of high school? How many of you think that's true? That's true. You guys all know that I was lying when I said Shelley thought I was hot when she saw me. Oh, goodness. Well, you know what? We're talking today about truth or lie. And sometimes it's not easy to spot the lie. And so that raises the question to me today, what is truth? What is truth? You see, in the book of John, we see that Pontius Pilate, he asked Jesus in the New Testament when the Jewish people were plotting to kill Jesus. They brought him before Pilate, and Pilate is questioning the motives of Jesus. And he asked him, who do you say you are? Are you the truth? Are you the way and the life? And of course, Jesus responds to him in verse 18:37b, he says, actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And then it says that in the next verse, it says what Pilate responds with. He says, what is truth? I think that that's one of the most important questions that we need to answer for ourselves in today's culture and in the world that we're living in is what is truth? It's hard to believe the media. It's hard to believe anything you see on TV. And then now you got all this AI stuff coming out and they can make you look like you're robbing a bank when you're not doing anything. You know, I mean, it's crazy. And so I think this is an important question for us as a church to know what is truth. And so to start out, we need to build a working definition of what is truth for this message on truth. And so this is a definition. It's broadly accepted, and I think it went great with our message today. And this is what truth is. Truth is absolute, it's constant, and true for everyone, everywhere, all the time. It's absolute, constant, true for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Can we agree on that definition of truth? That's a good definition, I believe. But a lot of people, especially today, they begin to confuse truth with perspective. And I want you to understand that there's a big difference there. You see, truth is absolute. It's absolute. It doesn't change. But our perspectives are different. They vary from person to person. And the challenge is if we confuse truth with our perspective, then we might also start to think that truth is subjective. I'm going a little slow here because I want this to sink into us. This is pretty heavy. And then if we think that it's subjective, then we might begin to believe that truth changes over time. And if we believe that, then we also might start believing that, well, if it's true to you, what's true to you isn't true to me. And therefore, since your truth is unique to you, then you would get to start determining your truth. So following that logic, if we follow that logic, and I hope you can follow with me, if something sounds right to you and it feels right to you, then it must be true. If we're going to go by that logic, is that right? So if it sounds right and it feels right, well, then to you, it must be true. And if you believe that, your truth is unique to you. That's where we start in our culture today. We see people that have this feeling and this thought, and they start thinking, well, if my truth is true to me, well, then I'm supposed to speak my truth. I'm supposed to live my truth, own my truth. And your truth is who you really think you are. But I want to raise the question this morning, what if your truth is a trap? What if your truth is not really the truth? And then if that's the case, then your truth is a trap. It's easy when we want to believe that our perspective is the same as the truth. So we'll say things like, well, this feels right. This seems right to me. But I wanted to tell you, there's a verse in Scripture in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12, that says, there is a path before each person that seems right or it feels right, okay? But it ends in death. In other words, just because something seems right doesn't make it true. Are we okay? Everybody okay? All right, because I want to give you two truths about truth this morning. Number one, just because you believe something doesn't make it true. Just because you believe something doesn't make it true. Can you agree with me on that? All right. For example, for centuries, everyone thought that the world was flat. And then centuries go by, and then they find out that the world is round. And then nowadays, there's some people that think it's flat again. So, and I'm not wanting to debate that issue with anybody, but it doesn't make it right just because you think that it's the truth. And so, if you think that the world is flat, I just want you to be careful and don't fall off, okay? Stay with us. But just because you believe something, whatever it is, doesn't make it true. Or imagine this. Imagine you're going to take a flight one day. You're walking up to the airplane, and you see this guy, and he's over there, and he's checking out this pilot jacket and his hat, and he's putting it on, and he goes, man, I think this is going to fit just fine. And you're thinking, well, is this your first time to fly? He goes, no. Yeah, that's my first time to fly. And he says, oh, so did you go to flight school? No, but I just feel like a pilot today. I feel like I'm going to be a good one. You know, I think I can do this. I feel like it seems like I can do this. Are you going to fly with that guy? I know I'm not, and I hope and pray that you don't either. You see, that, I mean, you have to understand that just because you think it's true doesn't mean that it is. And now I want to give you just a little bit from my heart, and let the pastor come out of me for just a minute. I want you to understand that today I believe and I know that you have a perspective, and your perspective matters. What you've experienced, what you've gone through, all of that, it matters. It's real and it's valid, okay? Everyone has a story, and everyone should have a chance to share that story and to tell your story. But I want you to know that what you're experiencing and what you feel doesn't mean that it's the absolute truth in your life. There's a difference. And you might be saying to me, but I thought that I was supposed to follow my heart, Pastor Jack. Everybody just says, follow my heart. You know, I mean, whatever you do, follow your heart. I want you to see the scripture in Jeremiah 17:9. It says that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? You see, people say we have a good heart, but I want you to let you know, without God, our heart is wicked. Our heart is wicked and it will lie to you. You see, we need a redeemed heart because our heart will lead us astray over and over again. If all we're doing is following our heart, following what we think feels good and what we feel is right, it's going to lead us astray over and over again. And we know that this is true because whenever you begin to start to let your feelings determine your truth, we find ourselves in trouble, don't we? You find yourselves in trouble because I want you to know feelings will lie to you. Your feelings will lie. If somebody cuts me off in traffic, what do you think I feel like doing? I want you to know, long ago before I became a pastor, I was a man, okay? And somebody would cut me off in traffic is the same as it is today, okay? I still want to get mad and, boy, drive up there and cut them back off, you know? But just because I feel like doing that doesn't make it right. So see how your feelings will lie to you? Your feelings will get you into a bad car accident, yeah. But here's what we need to pay careful attention to this morning. Because if you're following me logically, here's where it gets really, it's easy to see how believing in my own unique truth becomes very, very dangerous. Because if truth isn't constant, in other words, if truth is relative, if truth changes, then you can see how it will lead us down this slippery slope. Let me show you really quick. If you don't believe that truth is constant, what's going to happen? Well, for one, then there are no absolute truths that apply to all people. There's no absolute truth that applies to all people. And then there's no such thing as absolute truth. I hope I'm explaining this why. It feels good in here, but that doesn't mean it's true, right? So you can do what is true, and I can do what is true to me, even if you wanted to kill me. See, this is the logic here. So if you think I can do what I feel is true, and you can do what you feel is true, if you wanted to kill me, does that make it right? Now, that'd be crazy, right? So it's easy for us to take this logic and displace it and see that when we have no absolute truth, that we can go down this slippery slope. The second thing that I want us to look at is when we don't believe in an absolute truth, then morality becomes subjective because right and wrong then becomes relative, which leads us to the thought that my perception determines what's true. And then if I'm the source of truth, and if I believe that I'm the source of truth, then what do I think? Well, if it's true to me, then you can't question my truth. Okay? And that's the way we are in our society today. If this is true to me, then you can't question my truth. But I want us to see that Paul warned us about the dangers of these false beliefs. And the Apostle Paul wrote this over 2,000 years ago, and it was inspired, I believe, by the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to see how true these words in our culture today, okay? This is what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:2-4. Paul said, preach the what? Say it with me. Preach the word. Preach the word of God. That tells me that I cannot come up here and preach my feelings. I don't want to preach my opinions. I don't want to preach my perspective. I just need to preach the word of God. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to preach the word of God because the word of God never changes. It's constant. It's absolute. It's good for everyone, everywhere, all the time. The Word of God is living, it's active, it accomplishes what God's purposed for it to do. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to preach it, but we're going to preach it patiently, correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desire, and they will look for teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. You see, there's a time coming. I believe we're getting close to that, where people, this is what they want to hear, is what their itching ears want to hear. But then it says, they will reject the truth and chase after myths. That's what they're going to do whenever they hear this. And we see this in our culture today, and there's people all around us, and all they're doing is they're looking for people to tell them what they want to hear. And it's so easy to do that, because it's good to hear what we want to hear, right? Because what we want to hear is so much easier for us to accept. But I want you to understand that God's truth doesn't change based upon your ability to accept it. I know that's hard. I know it's hard. But God's word is constant and it's true. And what we want to hear is so much different than what we need to hear sometimes. For example, when somebody wrongs you, you start going to someone and you want to hear somebody say, well, you deserve to be angry the way they treated you, the way they were acting. Yeah, you deserve to be able to just be mad at them and write them off. But you see, that's what you want to hear. But what you need to hear is you need to hear that what Jesus would say is he would say, you should forgive. Or we need to hear what Paul would say whenever he wrote, you should forgive others that just as you have been forgiven. You see, those are the things we need to hear, but that's not what we want to hear. For another example, we want to say, hey, it's my body. I can do whatever I want to with it. No boundaries. It's my body. But what you need to hear, and if you're pushing back on this, I want you to know this is probably for you this morning. What you need to hear is that your body belongs to Christ. Your body belongs to God. You're stewarding something that belongs to God himself. And he says for you to set your body apart, holy and acceptable, and for the glory of God. And I know that that's not what some of us want to hear, but we need to hear that. And you want, sometimes we want to hear, hey, I'm just looking a little bit. That pornography, I'm just looking at it just a little bit. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm doing it in secret. Nobody knows. But what you need to hear is that that is a sin against God, and that the devil is lying to you every time. He's robbing you. He's making you numb. He's isolating you. And your addiction may end up costing you more than you ever thought that it would. I know you don't want to hear it, but that's what we need to hear. You want to hear, it's not my fault. This is just the way I am. I can never change. But what you need to hear, what you need to know, is that your experience and what you're feeling inside doesn't determine who you are. You're not what somebody did to you. You're not what they said about you. You're not even what you feel about yourself. What you are is you are who God says you are. Amen? And if you are in Christ Jesus and you are a new creation, I want to tell you this morning that the old is gone and that you have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. This is a resurrection power that you can have inside of you. And if that power can raise Jesus from the dead, I want you to know that same power can heal you. That same power can help you overcome. And that same power will deliver you from the bonds of sin this morning. We need to hear that. And believe me, if you're mad at me right now, I just want you to know, I'm just telling you the truth. What we want to hear is so much more different than what we need to hear. And so just because it seems right, because you believe it, it doesn't make it true. And the second truth about truth is this, that truth isn't just something that we believe. Truth is someone we follow. And I want you to see that in Scripture. Whenever Thomas was asking Jesus, he said, hey, Jesus, where are you going? And Jesus responds back to him in John 14, chapter 6. He says, Jesus answered, he says, I'm the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, what is Jesus? He's not a way, he's the way. He's not a life, he is the life. He's not a truth, he is the truth. And this is where people kind of get bothered by it, because they get upset. You know, they say, no one comes to the Father except through me. This is where people get upset, you see, because people, they don't mind the love of Jesus. Oh, they love the love of Jesus when he loves the sinners, when he heals the sick, and when he's good with kids, and he cared for the least of these. They love all of that, but they don't like the exclusivity of it whenever he says that no one comes to the Father except through me. But I want you to know that that is the truth this morning. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ this morning. Truth isn't just something that we believe, but truth is someone that we follow. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. So if what I feel, if what I think, if what I want... Now, this is what I want you to listen to this morning. If what all those things, if what I feel, what I think, and what I want, if this is contrary to God's word, then it's not true. It's a lie. It's a lie. And so I know that this was just a long introduction to this one simple message that I want to talk to you about this morning. Here's the application to this message. This whole message hangs on this application. Are you ready for it? You got to come back. No, just kidding. I just want to make sure you're listening before I tell you. So here's the application. If Jesus' truth is different from what you believe, then die to your truth. And live according to his truth. To the truth. Let that sink in for a minute, okay? Do I have that on the screen? Yes. Let's read it together. If Jesus' truth is different from what you believe, then die to your truth and live according to the truth. Jesus is the truth. If what Jesus says, if what Scripture says, if what Word says, what God is saying, if it's different from what you feel, if it's different from what you believe, then Scripture says what we should do is we should die to our flesh. And that doesn't mean our skin. That means our sarx is the word in the Bible, which is our sinful nature, that we need to crucify our sinful nature. The Bible says that we need to put it to death. See, sometimes... what I want, I have these feelings. I want it, but I don't do it. I feel it, but that's not who I am. That's my sinful nature lying to me, trying to get me to take a different direction than what God has for me. He's wanting to take me into the trap of sin. And if our truth is contrary to his truth, then die to our truth and let's live according to his truth. Because at some point you're going to feel like like there's something that you want to do that's not God's will. You're going to feel like getting drunk. You're going to feel like getting high. You're going to feel like going to that place that you know you're going to do the wrong thing. But just because you feel it doesn't make it truth. And if my truth is contrary to God's truth, then Scripture tells me that I have to die and crucify my truth, my flesh, my feelings, my desires, and I'm supposed to live according to God's truth. Amen? And I know we've covered a lot of ground here, but I want to go back to our original story, the initial story of Pontius Pilate, because there's a lot of power in that story, more than you can imagine. Pilate was trying to make this decision, and I believe this is so relevant for the culture and the world that we're living in today. Pontius Pilate, he was trying to make a decision, and he was essentially trying to satisfy the crowd and still do what was right and legal. And he wasn't very popular, and he knew that Jesus hadn't done anything wrong, and he knew that he's an innocent man, and he goes to the Jewish people, and he begins to the people that are wanting him crucified, and he tells them, he says, "What has this man done? I can't find anything wrong with him. He's done nothing wrong." And so he starts trying to find a way out. How many of us try to do that so many times? We try to find our own way out instead of following God's truth into the perfect path that he has for us. So he starts trying to find a way out, and he says, "Hey, but I understand that it's your custom for me to release one prisoner a year at the time of Passover, and that's when this was. And so what he's doing is he's looking for this loophole. How many of us like loopholes in our life so we can get through things? We like them on our taxes, don't we? Ooh, ouch. So he's looking for a loophole. He's looking for a way so that he can let Jesus free, but they want him crucified. And he couldn't find any reason. So he goes to them. He says, hey, we're supposed to let one guy go. What do you think? Let's let the king of the Jews go. This guy that you guys, and they look back and they say, no, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And so here we have Pilate, and he's saying, what am I going to do? This guy, he's innocent. I mean, look at him. He's done nothing wrong, and he hasn't hurt anybody. But the crowd keeps saying, no, give us Barabbas. I want us to see who Barabbas is. Barabbas, well, he was a criminal. He was a liar. He was a thief. And most likely, he was a murderer. And Pilate asked the crowd, essentially, should we release Jesus, the truth, or should we release Barabbas, the liar? And the crowd chose Barabbas. How many times do we choose the lie because it's easier to hear? The lie doesn't cause us to change. You see, the crowd, the culture chose the liar and the thief and the murderer, which sounds very similar to the way that the devil is described in John chapter 10 when it says, who is Satan? It says that he is a thief. He's a liar. They call him the father of lies, that he comes to as a thief to steal, kill, and destroy. You see, think about this. Why did Pilate release Barabbas? It was because that's what everybody wanted. The crowd wanted their liar. The crowd must be right, and which makes sense when you think about it in the way our logic is going, because who is Jesus? Jesus is not just a truth. He is the truth. I want you to understand, I'm not being condemning this morning at all. I'm not. I'm saying this with every bit of love that I have in my heart this morning. I want you to understand that the truth steps on our toes. And listen to me, church, if you're coming in here and you've been here for a year or more and the word has not stepped on your toes, then I'm not preaching the word. I'm not intentionally trying to step on your toes to hurt you. But the word and the truth sometimes is hard, and the truth sometimes hurts because it requires us to change. And we don't like change, do we? It requires me to change, and it's so much easier to deal with the lie because the lie tells me that I'm fine. The lie tells me that I'm okay the way that I am and that I don't need to change. I'm just the way that I am, and it's so much more convenient, and it's so much more comfortable to listen to the lie, and that's why the truth is so appealing. That's why, because the truth, your truth, I mean, is so appealing to you. My truth sometimes is appealing to me because the truth allows us to do whatever we want, our own truth, but not the truth. And that's exactly where some of us are at right now. I believe it in my heart. And that's the reason why the crowd chose Barabbas, because Barabbas makes us feel better about ourselves. The truth isn't just something we believe. The truth is a person. Jesus is the truth, the loving truth, the life-changing truth. He's the truth that doesn't condemn but loves us. And I want you to understand, he's the truth that will set you free. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He didn't say your perspectives, your opinions, your experiences. You see, your perspective is valid. Your experience is real. I understand that. And your story does matter, but it doesn't mean it's the truth. Okay? Jesus is the truth, and the truth will set you free. So my question to you this morning is, are you walking in freedom? That's my desire for each and every one of us this morning, is to walk in freedom. The truth will set us free. So for the application to that, it's very simple. If Jesus' truth is different than what you feel, what you want, what you believe, die to your truth and live according to the truth, because Jesus is the truth. And the truth will often go against what you feel. Amen. Amara, would you come to the keyboard for me, please? The truth is Jesus, and Jesus will set you free today. Bow your heads with me, if you would. Jesus, we come to you this morning. Father, we confess our need to you this morning. We acknowledge that we're sinful, that we're broken. Our hearts will deceive us in a moment's notice. Help us to know you, Jesus. Help us to seek you. Help us to know your truth. Today, as you're praying this morning, people, I want you to continue praying, but I want to talk to those of you that call yourself a believer. If you call yourself a believer this morning, I want to talk to you for just a moment. Listen to me. Nobody looking around, but this should be all of you that say that you're a Christian and that you love Jesus. If you've been born again and you've been spiritually made new and you want to do the will of God, you want to please God. And so what I'm asking you to do right now is if you'll pray in this manner, if you'll pray that if you're doing something that is contrary to God's truth, that you would be convicted, that you would ask God to convict you, and that you would confess it, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would allow him to change you. Every person in here that calls yourself a believer, I hope that's you. I hope you'll pray this way this morning. Matter of fact, if you'll pray that way, just slip your hand up. It should be every believer in the house, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need, and sometimes we all live contrary to God's truth, and we need the Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to convict us this morning of the things that are not true in our lives and confess it this morning. I want to lead you in a prayer in that direction. And if you're sincere with me this morning and you want to pray that prayer, and I hope that every believer is, I pray. And if you're watching online, I want you to just type in the message this morning, I want to live according to God's truth. And now I just want you to pray this prayer with me. If you really mean it, pray it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, show me truth. I'm open. If I'm disobeying, if I'm dishonoring you, show me truth. Help me to live your truth. If what I call my truth is different from your truth, I confess my sins. Lead me to the truth. Lead me in the way everlasting. And help me to live the truth that will set me free. Amen. Now, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask you, Lord, this morning, that you would work on the hearts of those that just prayed that prayer. God, they asked you, they gave you permission, Lord, to convict them and to show them right from wrong, to show them the truth. And so today, Father, by your Spirit, by your might, God, I pray that you would change us, move in our hearts and in our minds today. I pray that every time this week and the weeks to come, that when we find ourselves trying to rationalize and trying to justify, God, I pray that you'd help us, that the truth would set us free. And it's in the name of Jesus that you set us free. I want you to keep praying. If you're praying this morning, I want you to keep praying. But I'm guessing this morning that this message hits a little harder and a little more difficult for some than it does for others. And so I want to speak as lovingly as I can to you this morning. And sometimes you just have to be direct and tell the truth. And my fear is that many of us that call ourselves Christian, because we kind of go to church, or maybe we have someone on our Instagram account that gives us a word here and there, but you're not really submitted to the truth. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect, okay? But when you're a follower of Jesus, you actually want to live according to the truth, to His ways. And you'll want to die out to your own selfish and sinful desires. That's my prayer for us this morning. So I want you to just think about it right now. And I want you to ask yourself this sincerely. Am I His disciple? Am I His disciple? If Jesus is the way, if He is the truth and the life, is my life following His way? Ask yourself, am I living according to His truth? And I think if we're honest, for many of us, we'd have to say, it really isn't. It really isn't. And so what do? It's pretty simple. We tell the truth and we say, look, I've been living for myself, Jesus, and not for You. And I need You to help me understand the truth so that I can live for You each and every day. You see, when Jesus came, His word said that He came full of grace and truth. Grace is He still loves you. And the truth is you need Him. If you find yourself here today and you're unsure, let's just be honest and say, look, God, I turn from my old life. I want to follow Jesus. And when you call on Him, He hears you this morning. He hears your prayer and He forgives all of your sins and He makes you brand new. All you have to say is that I'm turning away from my sin, Jesus. I'm dying to my desires. I want to live for Your glory. I want to be saved by the grace through faith. I want to surrender my life to You each and every day, Jesus. If that's your prayer, I want everybody in this place to stand with me if you would. That's your prayer. Would you just say this prayer out loud with me right now, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I surrender. Forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, be the Lord of my life and fill me with Your Holy Spirit. If I'm living according to my truth and it's inconsistent with Your truth, this morning, I die to my truth, and I want to live according to Your truth. Fill me with Your Spirit so that I can do Your will. Direct my steps. Thank You, Jesus, for new life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.